So here we are. Welcome to Module 3 of my Healing Foundations program, Balance Your Innate Powers. Now, I've been talking to quite a few people since our last module here, and we have been going straight into the higher spiritual aspects of our lives. And these higher spiritual aspects of our life are the ones that don't seem to make a lot of sense sometimes in our real everyday world. And so we're going to see if we can get that all back into play here, where while we have one foot like in the spiritual world and the other foot in what we're calling our perceived or real world, we need to find some balance and prevent these two worlds from colliding. Now, I know from some of the talks I've had that this has been going on, which to me is a great sign of growth. You're going to notice, like, for example, relationship criteria changes, job interactions change. Some altercations may happen as you begin to see how this polarization process is occurring, where people are either choosing the light or they're choosing to dig in and maintain what they thought or what they believed to be true. And harmonies are going to occur. Certain things are just going to fall into place. Some expected and some not. Now, the trick here is to watch for the ones that do, to catch yourself, so to speak, doing something right, to catch yourself doing what works for you, rather than to catch yourself making mistakes. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later, too. And so as you begin to peel away what the Indian people call Maya, which is the false events appearing real, that's an acronym for fear, false events appearing real, you begin to see things in a different light, and literally in a light. It's like casting a light on something that you couldn't see before, and all of a sudden you realize it's there and it's true. And as a result, your perception then, or your accounting of what it is that's in front of you, all of a sudden changes. And this is a result of you changing, of you releasing these past belief systems that are limiting you from seeing the truth. And statements will come out of you like, when you're talking to somebody, my, how you've changed since I've changed. And that's the kind of thing that's going to occur, because the people around you aren't necessarily going to change right away. Now, they may begin to say, hey, what have you got? I really like that. And start to aspire to what it is that you're doing. And some may say, hey, I see what you're doing. You're coming into this kind of great balanced place here, you know, and I'd rather stick with my beer and remote or whatever their issue is. But either way, it's going to happen. Now, the really, really good news is about this that I've found from my experience is that some people go away, some people come back, some people leave permanently, other people come in and stay permanently. And you begin to set a new paradigm for the criteria for everything that you do. Criteria that empowers you and makes you work, makes your life work, rather. Like right now, just from the first two modules, the centering, the things that we've learned, these are beautiful practices, and these are a lot of tools that I've given to use here. Centering is my favorite, but reframing, just simply stopping and changing a situation like that has already occurred, and reframe it as though you had done the proper and correct things in your mind. Your brain does not know the difference, so that you don't later beat yourself up about this and you change it immediately. Even better than that is to reframe it with the people, persons, places, or things that it occurs right in the moment. You simply catch yourself and reframe it. Start over. Tap into your heart. Breathe. Drink a glass of water. All of these things that we learned in these first two modules can be used immediately. You don't have to wait. You don't have to do a long meditation, though I recommend it. It worked for me. I did them all the time. And then just imagine yourself as a child. Connect to your higher self. Use your imagination. Make things work. These are very, very simple and easy to overlook. But look how easy it was to create your life. And look how easy it was to create things that are hard in your life. Well, it's just that simple to change them around. You just have to make up your mind, I'm going to create things that are easy in my life. I'm going to create things that are fun in my life. I'm going to drink that glass of water, and I'm not going to pass it by and say, I won't work, and I'll just pass by and do it in my head, you know. I'm one for that. That's how come I know about it, you know. But that's the way our brain wants to work. It wants to drag you back all the time. So the divine, you see, is all designed to take you out of your current perceived reality and into the world of the all and the everything, the truth. A place where there isn't an up or down, a judgment or a criticism. It just simply is. And your brain is always going to be working to try to bring you back into what it tells itself is familiar with. So a different new world is emerging. And this is going to equate to you seeing things differently, which is going to offer you new choices, which is probably one of the reasons you're here, is that you want some different choices in your life. You no longer wish to tolerate your life. You wish to take charge of it, to come and bring your divine consciousness to the surface of your conscious mind. So we're going to invite things together rather than say, oh, forget about one and add the other. No, we're going to invite it all together. It is all part of you. So just be aware when your brain tries to drag you back, tries to keep you, so to speak, out of balance. Okay? That's going to be its job throughout this entire process. And it's going to be your job to say, excuse me a minute. I already have somebody I'm talking to. It's called my higher self. I know it. I actually designed it myself. I built it, and I built it with its own particular design because I followed that beautiful truth called I was created in the image of. And that image of fed to me the ideas, the understanding, the knowledge, the beingness, the experiential value of who my I Am presence is, and I actually created it in such a way, using my brain, incidentally, that I can communicate, see it, feel it, taste it, and touch it, and it becomes a beautiful friend in my life. Now, you can tell when you start to get out of balance, some of the symptoms. You begin arguing with people. You say, oh, I'm right, you're wrong. I've learned all this high spiritual stuff, and I'm better than less than. As soon as those things start coming in, we slip out of balance. Like imagine yourself on top of a slide, and it's a platform, and the slide goes down in all four directions. Anytime one of these things slip in, you slip down the slide, and it feels like you've got to start all over again. But the good news actually is you can hop right up onto the top of that slide. You don't have to try to climb all the way up, but you just imagine yourself right back at the top and begin from there. The other symptom is logic. You're sitting there trying to make sense out of everything, and it just throws your brain into overload, which then throws you into overwhelm. Go into overwhelm, nothing has to be done. So just watch for these types of things. Or living in the past. Well, gee, I'd like to have this change, but this is the way it always was. Isn't the way it always was? It's always going to be how it always was. What's the sense of doing anything? Same old, same old. I come here, listen to this, I turn around, people are saying the same things to me, I'm having the same response, and it just goes back to zero. These are the symptoms. This is not your life. And because of that, then you begin to make those poor decisions and choices. Well, I might as well stay where I am. Being the most devastating decision you could possibly make. I'll just tolerate my life rather than take charge and live my life. And another symptom is you become ill. You start getting sick. The flus come around, you get them. Do you ever notice some people just don't? These are just conscious or unconscious choices. They're irrational thoughts, illogical indiscretions. They're not logical. And they're certainly not sound discretions. They're indiscretions. I call them illogical indiscretions. And what happens is, eventually, as your mind, as your spirit, as your emotions, as your imagination is not used and becomes ill and atrophies, so does your physical body. Now we begin to play the right long game. For example, I made these poor decisions, but by the way, it's their fault. They didn't let me do this. I've got to go take care of them. And you make all these reasons of why you can't get to where you want to be. Now, those are the symptoms. I want to spend no more time on that. And, oh, well, one more thing. And then, of course, you just don't eat well because it doesn't matter. Well, we'll just forget about it, you know. We'll drink a little bit too much. We'll eat a little bit too much. Or eat all of the empty foods that we certainly know about in these days. So just take care. Watch for a second. Stop a minute. Breathe. We have some incredibly beautiful tools. Reframe. Center yourself immediately. pretty soon as you do the centering, you'll just be able to see the rainbow and be there immediately. Now, these are all symptoms that shut down the different energy centers of the body. Here's how it kind of works. As I mean, remember, our body, all of these things are together. They're not separate. To say that my spirit is separate from my body is saying like my fingers over there across the room. It just isn't so. So you've really got to understand that we're all together. We invite, we embrace these feelings when we're not feeling well and poorly. We bring them into the light. Jesus asked Lucifer into light over 2,000 years ago. You bring it in and you deal with it and release it and let it go. And you can do this immediately. Here's how it works. Like if we start to shut these things down by letting our brain tease us into this complacent state of being and even calling it comfortable, there's a big difference in those two C words. They're just not the same. Okay? And here's what happens, for example, when you shut down your heart center. Let's say you're, an attractive girl in high school, you know, but you really haven't been dating or things like that, and you want to get more popular, and so you notice there's this wonderful football player there, and all the girls like him, he's kind of a player, but you can look past that, because if you could be with him, you could become popular. And so you use all of your great skills, you know, to get him to take you out. Pretty soon you're kind of going steady a little bit. But of course then, and you start to like him a little bit, which wasn't really originally part of the plan. You just want to get popular. And then all of a sudden he goes out with some other gal and, oh, wow, he ripped my heart out. Oh, that bum. Can't trust men. Can't trust other people. Oh, that's what my mother told me, that's what my father told me, and that's what my friends all told me. Well, that's the victim story. That's your brain speaking. Now, here's the real accounting of that story. Gee, I wanted to become popular, so I sacrificed one of my values of doing what it is that serves my highest and best good. So I shut my heart down. That's what my heart does. It determines what's good and true and serves the highest and best good for all. Nobody ripped my heart out. You see, I shut it down myself, and I forgot later to open it up, and then I blamed him. Now, it can go either way, a girl or a guy. I just happen to tell it that way. But you see, that's a body out of balance. When you shut down one of your chakras, you also shut down other chakras. And when you shut down chakras, you've limited your ability to know the truth. And then we default and begin to make poor decisions for logic in the brain and then blame others for those indiscretions. Out of balance, just out of balance. That's what it is. But when you allow, actually, when you demand your I Am presence to direct all your bodies concurrently, you are then re-educating yourself to use all five senses, the fourfold nature of man, your mental, physical, and emotional bodies, combined with your five senses, and combining those with the seven levels of consciousness to act as one. And one of the ways we accomplish this is by centering. So we're going to center right now. We'll do a centering short version. So just sit upright, sit in a very comfortable position, and just relax and still yourself. Be still and know. I am gone. You know that soon, every time that I center myself, I become more and more centered than ever before. And to center myself right in this moment, I first visualize the color red. A beautiful natural red fills my entire body. My entire vision is red, like a red rose. And instantly, my entire outer body begins to relax. I relax my body from head to toe. Relax. Relax. Just relax. I move ever inward now to the color orange. And orange fills my entire vision. Orange is the color of emotions. I release and let go all my emotions, all my emotional attachments to all people, to all places, and to all events in my life. I just released them all. I just let go. Relax, let go. For I truly desire to presence myself in this moment now. Now moving ever now towards the center of my being, I next visualize the color yellow. Yellow is the color of the mind. I still inquiet my mind. In an instant, I visualize the most brilliant scene from nature in such great detail that I actually can use all of my senses to drink in the beautiful essence of this scene from nature. I simply quiet and still my mind. By using my mind to create all of these details, I have focused it into one singular thing, and it becomes quiet and still. Yellow, yellow, like the sun itself, fills my vision. I still inquiet my mind. And now, having left my three outer bodies behind, I enter into the higher spiritual state and visualize the color green. Green is the color of peace. I feel peace welling up deep inside my body. This peacefulness warms each and every cell of my being. I can actually see myself being peaceful with everything that I do. And all communications, creating others to be in this peaceful way as well. Then moving now towards the center of my being, I next visualize the color blue. Blue is the color of love. Love, the outward centrifugal force of the universe. Blue, like the sky that surrounds us. Blue is the color of love. Love is the outward centrifugal force, the energy that creates all things to move, all animated. Love is the essence of our very energy source. Love truly does make the world go round. Blue is the color of love. Now moving towards the center of my being. I next visualize the color purple. Purple is the color of the aspiration. I go beyond thinking. I transcend all thought. I just know. I even know that I know. I know that soon I shall be in the center of my being, the holiest of holy places, the place where all things are known to me. Peace. Peace, peace. I just know. Next, I visualize the color violet. I am now centering myself. I am at the holiest of holy places, the divine center. I am presencing myself in this very moment, now. And I only need be silent for these next few moments to go wherever it is that spirit leads me to go. Peace. Peace, peace. Return to the everyday world. And I allow myself these next few moments to complete my journey, as this is all the time that it will take. And to begin my journey back, I visualize the colors of the rainbow in reverse sequence, beginning with violet, moving upwards and outwards to purple. Upwards and outwards still to blue. Upwards and outwards to green. Color of peace. Yellow, orange, and red. I open my eyes. I am enthused. I am enriched with the knowledge from within. I just am. And take a moment and look at your surroundings. Just notice them. Notice how you have already reframed. That you have gone to the holiest of holy places in your imagination and thus were there. Quieted the mind. Perhaps even visited your perfect self. I'm sure you're noticing that it is very, very different from the convoluted Frankensteinian thoughts of the mind. We'll call them that because it's when we try to put things together that don't actually fit. But when we get centered, it all straightens out. Now, I've mentioned several times education. Education being the drawing forth of the knowledge from within. Your own true divine knowledge. Now, there's two distinct and necessary educations. Now, being Greek, I was made aware of the incredible outward focus that various Greek people brought to the world, like philosophy, exploration, advances in science and technology. And, of course, being Greek, we were the only ones that did that, of course. One of those things I grew up with. Anyway, that's one form of education. It's an outward expression. The focus is outward. Do you notice that? Philosophy, speaking with others, exploration, advances in science. These are all things of a doing nature of the outer world. And then having spent time in India and the Far East, I became aware of how to focus inward, to seek the divine presence within. The big joke, of course, was I flew all the way to India and took taxis. We even had to push the taxis through rivers because things weren't quite as advanced as they were here. We had to ride in two cars. They couldn't carry us all. I mean, these are amazing differences. I understood for the first time culture shock. But I went there to seek the divine presence within, and the joke was that I traveled all the way there to seek this great master, to see him, sit at his feet, find out how does he work and how does he do things, only to find out that all I had to do is bring his consciousness into mine. I could have stayed home. Now, for me, it worked because I was a carpenter. You know, I had to touch things and feel them and see them and taste them in order for them to be real. And so to go there and to find out, there were so many things that were real that I couldn't see, feel, taste, or touch, but were absolutely there. And words like faith, and words like surrender, I just had to deal with them. There was nothing else to grasp onto. And I found that presence. Presence they call prana, or chi, or creator, the Buddha within. But we call it our I Am presence. And this is so important, it is all the same. Now, throughout these next few weeks, we're going to continue to balance these two schools of education. One, the education outward, one, the education inward, so that we move in complete balance. We've already begun to set a really good foundation to still and quiet the mind, to offset the chatter that we have been trained to do and have been living with since just shortly after we were born. And maybe even before we were able to hear things and communicate from the womb. Now, in our external world, it's important to see something here. That's all about survival and competition. And I know more, they know less, and it just goes on and on. In the internal world, it's the part of us that is simply love. It is the energy source of the universe. It is all that is, all of the knowledge within. Sai Baba gave us a great slogan when we left his ashram. Well, he gave it to us, he just told it to everybody. It's very simple. Love all, serve all. And I'm going to add, and that definitely includes yourself. See, there's this thing about competition. People think we're in competition with everybody. They think they're in competition with everyone else. When in fact, we'll just take a game of football, for example. You can't bring a baseball bat to a game of football. You have to bring a football. And you have to wear helmets and gear and all of these things. That's the part of the cooperation of the game. You're going there to play football. So in a sense, you're all in cooperation with each other. The key then is to be in great competition with yourself. To be the best that you can be. That's football. And our overall balance of life, we have all kinds of values to keep in checks and balances, to be in cooperation with, so that they all begin to work together. Now, we live in an age, I'll grant you, the internal world has been taken out of the schools, it's been taken out of the workplace, it's been even taken out of the home. So we're all going out to work, and mother and the father, and who's bringing this sense of morality into the home? And yet, I'll tell you, when you heal this imbalance in yourself, when you do this for yourself, you will automatically become the teacher of others, the teacher of your children, because they will get the vibrations, the incredible energy that pours forth from dealing and being in your truth in the moment. From having the candor and the absolute faith in yourself, and the knowing that should you begin on a path of error, that you can stop and correct it right in front of everyone. It gives them permission to do the same. And people then begin to come into balance. That way, I'll tell you, when you look at each person and you see an aspect of yourself in them, rather than judge them, that you actually then can heal that aspect within yourself. And you can bless that person for showing it to you. See, that's balance. And you'll be creating a balance in the world that brings so much joy back to you. The universe, look how big it is. It can't help but give you back so much more. And you become the ripple in the pond rather than the boat overturned by someone else's wave. Our world is presently filled with the tsunamis of imbalance. Mother Earth has given us plenty of opportunities to see how imbalanced we are. Mother Earth shows us. We say, oh, the Earth is out of balance. Ah, then let's balance that aspect in ourselves so that we can become back in cooperation with our own home, Mother Earth. And soon you're going to see how it is in our consciousness, that it is our consciousness that guides the outcome of the environment. I can remember when I was a kid, I used to think, oh, I can change the weather with my mind. And where did that thought come from? Nobody told me that. But I always believed it. Maybe I saw it some old Indian shaman thing or something. I was reading someplace. But anyway, it did come to me. And I threw it away and changed it because I mentioned that to other people and they ridiculed me, which is certainly not anybody's idea of morality, this idea of ridiculing instead of discovering and maybe adjusting. But anyway, I really do want to get back to this thing of morality, just touch on it lightly. Just like, where does it come from? I mean, it doesn't fall from the sky. It doesn't appear magically. It doesn't just happen accidentally. But it does happen from searching within and asking empowering questions. And this is what brings us back into balance. I can't think of any faster way for me to get out of balance than to ask myself questions that I can't answer. My teacher Alexander used to tell me, it's impossible to ask a question without knowing the answer. If you purposely set yourself on a course that says, I'm going to ask a question that I can't possibly know the answer, then you're doomed to what? Complacency, competition, outward thinking. It's like you send this trail of energy out to the universe, your soul goes out and follows it, and there's nobody minding the storm. So we want to ask questions that have a closed loop, that bring us back into ourselves and still answer the questions. Questions like, why can't I? You turn it into, how can I? And this is one that I really, really want you to pay attention to. It's not possible to say this with any degree of accuracy, but people say it all the time. I don't know. Why did you do that? I don't know. A more responsible statement, that, because I don't know, shuts the door. A more responsible statement is, well, it's not clear to me yet. It's just not clear to me. Just give me a moment here. Let me spend some time with it. Or let's discover what it was. Because all of our actions, everything that comes out in the form of our words, is simply an idea, a symbol of everything that's going on inside. So wouldn't it be nice to go in there and capture those symbols, to capture those ideas, to capture that knowing in such a way that you then become aware of it and then can effect a change? So I'm stupid becomes, I'll never do that again. Ah, I see that I did that and it doesn't work. Oh, gosh, I'll never do that again. God, wasn't that ridiculous? That was kind of funny. What would ever make me do that? You see, this is questions that you could answer. Or how could I never, ever forgive myself becomes, I forgive myself. Yeah, I love myself. Let's reset the button here. This is just something that was one of those Frankensteinian thoughts. I pick this, I attach it to that and put it over there. And I put something else in its place and guess what? I can't see it. So now I've got so many strings attached in so many different ways trying to hold this thing together. And of course, the second I stop paying attention, it just falls apart. So I forgive myself and I love myself and wipe the slate clean. It's brilliant. Do it in front of people. Let them know you're human. Let them know that you are a divine being acting through a human personality, and the personality is apt to make a few mistakes here and there. Let's just bring it back. Lash it right back. And a big one here, how can I be responsible for the actions of others? Like, I'm not responsible for tsunamis. I'm not responsible for a car accident happening to me. I'm not, well, these things just happen. I'm not responsible, particularly in the case of human illness or disease. Well, who else is in there? And when we shift into, I am responsible to others, I am only responsible for myself. So be your best to yourself. Wouldn't that make sense? When you're the best to yourself, you are responsible to others. When you hold to the value systems deep within you, of integrity, of accountability, of trust, of being vulnerable, being open, speaking your truth, you open the door for others, and the world comes into balance. And probably the worst on top of this, the granddaddy of all things, is gossip, the lowest form of communication. Blah, blah, blah. The lowest form of communication ever. And you can change that. You can make that become, hey, you know, in order to see this in them, we have to have it in ourselves or we can't see it. We simply can't recognize these things in others unless a part of that is within us. And let's bless their heart for showing that so that we can, showing us that or me that, so that we can heal it. So that we can recognize it in ourselves and then we can speak to our greatness and heal it. And then we can speak to their greatness. Yes, I'm saying dare to take charge of the conversation. Turn it into something that serves you. That brings you into service of another, which serves them, which puts everybody back into balance. You'll be surprised how quickly people hop on that bandwagon. This is one of the most powerful tools, I think, that you're going to discover, is how to see the greatness in others. You find the greatness in yourself and you seek that in others. And the universe, again, just flows back to you without limit. I'll tell you, when you do this, you'll be so happy. And as each person is an aspect of you, you would be complimenting yourself. It is one of the most wonderful things you can do to speak highly and honestly. Seek out their values, even when somebody's blustering on and on. Oh my gosh, what focus they have. You find the greatness, what power they have. They're so passionate about this, what passion they have. The issue or the criteria might be out in left field, but all of those beautiful tools are there. We just need to dust them off, clean them off, and direct them in a direction, in a way that serves us and serves them. You may just even want to write that one down. That is so powerful. You seek out the greatness in others and you speak only to the greatness. You find it in yourself and share it. And this makes me very excited because all of the people so far that we're working with right now are aspiring to this. Everybody in one form or another is beginning to shed these ideas and move them forward by being as great as they can be. It reminds me, I was watching the Syracuse University football game, and Syracuse was losing. And they could win if they just got one touchdown. There was just a few seconds left in the game to play. And they were way at the other end of the field, the wrong end, you know, away from their own goal. And so they hiked the ball, you know, and everybody's screaming and yelling. And that ball, the quarterback just lets it loose. You could tell he threw it as fast and as hard as he possibly could. And you look down, and here's this ball. First you look up, and here's this ball way up in the air. And then there's this fellow on the ground who broke loose, and he is running as fast as he could possibly run. I'm getting goosebumps thinking of it now, that this guy was running so fast, it was like he was trying to get his feet underneath him to stay upright. You could just see it. And as the ball comes sailing down, it stayed up there forever, it seemed, and he was down around the now 10-yard line. Nobody was within a half of a field with him. He was all by himself. And the ball comes down, and he reaches out for it. It bounces off his fingertips. And he fell over and rolled on the ground, and he got a standing ovation. Everybody in that entire theater knew that he had given it his all and commended him for the effort, even though Syracuse University lost the game. That was somebody who empowered everybody in that stadium. He inspired them to make a difference in the world. He made it easier for people to be in cooperation and community, just like what we're building here. So while, you know, it feels like you might be out of balance because, you know, all of your answers are being questioned and your questions are being answered, well, this is kind of what happens. And your brain goes, oh, we can't go there. We don't know. But the truth is you do know. We're bypassing the logic of the brain. It seems a little bit confusing sometimes, but it doesn't take a whole lot to get you back into balance. So just remember, got it from me, straight from me. The brain has no answers, but the heart has no questions. So this is a no-brainer. It really is. We're going to bypass the brain and then add it back in. So we're passing the reins over. We're reversing polarity, just like the sun has reversed polarity now. We're going to change the polarity of our hearts and our heads. And it just isn't us right now. Look at all the wonderful people being introduced to the media by people like Oprah, the late Dr. Shuler, now his son, Deepak Chopra, Eckhart Tolle, just to mention a few. And they're great, great, wonderful, special people, past and with us still, but like Mother Teresa, Dr. Martin Luther King, what great self-awareness teachers they were. And then we have people on a regular basis on TV like Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz to soothe our intellects and our bodies. This is really happening. Let's get on the boat. Let's go with it. Because we really are moving from one age to the other, from the Piscean age into the age of Aquarius. You know, it's like walking too. Realize this, when you're walking, you have to be just out of balance a little bit in order to put one step forward. And then you balance yourself again and bring your other foot. You go a little bit out of balance. So don't be afraid of getting a little bit out of balance to achieve the goal, to move forward. And you only have to move one foot at a time. And each step brings you more and more into this powerful balance. Just like a little baby learning to walk, the more steps that are taken, the more powerful the balance becomes. And each time we pay more attention to our heart versus our mind, we start to reverse the polarity in all of our ability to communicate. So just make it easy on yourself. Jump in. Let your I Am presence carry you and guide you, especially when you're saying, oh God, I've got this anxiety thing coming. Just take a breath. Just surrender. Let it happen. Tell yourself, God's going to handle this one. And if it came out badly, say, well, God did it. Don't let it ruffle you. Reframe it. Change it. Move it back together. Pick up the piece. Just do it again. There are no morality police. There are no trying police. There are no I've done police. It's all inside. It's all inside. Nobody's going to condemn you for making a mistake. And everybody will extol your virtues should you take an error of thought and correct it. This is how we come into balance. So by now you're kind of getting the idea that the four bodies, the mental, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual bodies, are pulling the great chariot of your soul like four great white horses, like they're just blading this path in front of you with your I Am presence throughout the entire universe. Now just imagine that, those thundering hooves and those big four beautiful white horses all tethered to the same chariot, the chariot of your soul, all them individually but pulling equally. Just thundering across the terrain. Just hear it. Feel it. Moving through you, this incredible power that is within you. And how it opens infinite possibilities. That's the external knowledge making its way from your internal knowing. So just engage all of your senses so that you can feel that information. You can feed that information, that knowledge, into the internal workings of your spirit. See, but see with your heart. Hear, but hear with your heart. Feel, but feel with your heart. And touch, but touch with your heart. Taste, and taste with your heart. The essence, the beauty of the situation that you're in. And then just let all of that information come together as one. We all do it quite naturally in different circumstances in our life. We just need to pay attention so that we can actually take control and do it at will. We combine the exterior with the internal. The exterior is shaped by the voice of others whose thoughts, though well-intentioned, could be flawed. While the internal world relies only upon your personal connection to the universe, which has no flaws. And when you combine the two, you have a recipe for co-creation. You can create anything that you want. When you combine the external knowledge with the internal knowledge, you're actually creating your own reality. Right now, you have the ability, you are creating something different in your life in this very moment. This is how our senses are. They're so incredibly powerful. Abraham of Abraham Hicks shared with us how people who watch many doctor shows are actually able to create the sickness that they're watching. I wouldn't watch those anymore if I were you. I know for me as a tradesman, it rings true. I mean, I could just watch somebody do something, and then I knew that I could do it. I had the experience, all of my senses, completely focused on one thing. And I said, I can do that. It would just come to me. This is how powerful we are. I'll tell you how this happened one time in reverse. I was working with a woman who I hadn't met her, actually. She was married to a good friend of mine. I hadn't seen him in 15 years. They invited me to dinner. Make a long story short, she came out in a wheelchair. Make a longer story short, I asked her, why did she choose to get multiple sclerosis? And boy, she almost killed me with the daggers that came out of her eyes, man. But I have fun with those kinds of things. I immediately put armor around myself like a medieval knight And I went, bing, bing. And she said, what are you doing? And I said, well, you can't hurt me with your anger. And then I had a vision, and I told it to her. And she said, oh, boy, we need to talk. It meant something to her. And then come to find out, see how she contracted this, is that her aunt had all the most grossest or the symptoms of the same. And she was her aunt's caretaker. And when she had done something that she considered so bad and decided to punish herself for, her entire body created multiple sclerosis. She had no other history of it in her family, in her immediate family. But see, you see, all of her senses were able to drink in that knowledge and to use that knowledge to punish herself. This is how powerful we are. I have some good news. You know, after about 9 months of working with her, she went dancing with us. She didn't dance quite like us, but she could walk and she got back on her feet. She was in a wheelchair for 3 years before I met her. Now, this is how powerful you are. This is the kind of power that we have. This is how magnificent of a creator we are. So let's just take some time now and create a balanced life for ourselves. I'll give you a minute here. I want you to get that paper and pencil out that I emailed you about. Because now is the time I want you to get out that piece of paper or that octagon that I asked you to draw to be prepared to draw today. Because we're going to experientially use our inner talents and externally do it at the same time to create a very powerful force to bring our lives into balance. And you're going to be kind of stunned perhaps at what you find or happy or whatever you are. It doesn't matter. Because what's going to happen is that you're going to have the opportunity of knowledge. And this knowledge is going to bring you an opportunity for change. So I want to tell you just briefly how powerful this is. I did this about, oh my gosh, 20 or 30 years ago. And after the first year that I had done it, I had it folded up in my wallet. I had never looked at it again. And I had accomplished everything on my list. Except for one thing, and that's a whole other story we'll talk about another day. But at any rate, I got to handle that as well. So I want you to draw an octagon on that sheet of paper. If it's an 8 by 10 or whatever it is, 11.5 by 8 sheet of paper, regular sheet of writing paper, whatever that is now, and draw an octagon on there, but leave some room on the outside of it. Draw it maybe about 5 inches across. Leave about 2 inches at the sides of the paper. It's just a square with the corners cut off, but try to make them as equidistant as you can. And while you're doing that, this is what you're going to call your balance wheel. You may write that at the top or do whatever you like, write it up later. Or you may want to call it something else when we're done. Now at the top of the octagon, on the left-hand corner, I want you to draw down toward the right-hand corner on the bottom. So you're going to connect the opposite corners together, kind of make pie-shaped pieces within that octagon. Now on the top of the octagon, I want you to write the words spirit. Or spiritual. Just write it in small letters on the outside on the top of the octagon. Then moving to the right, going round the right and down a little bit, write mental. And then turn the octagon around a little more. On the outside of the octagon, write emotional. And then on the next one, write self-image. So we're going right around the octagon to the right. And on the bottom, write physical. Going back up the left side, write short-term. Next one up is long-term. And finally, community service. Now you can see we encompass the fourfold nature of man: spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. So we've combined some etheric values here with then some things that are very real. Our self-image, for example. Our goals, short-term and long-term, and what it is that we're giving back to the world. And what we're going to do is we're going to take some time and fill in a few of these sections of this octagon. We're going to give ourselves exactly the same time for each one. And what I want you to think about is that under each of these categories, what is it, for example, spiritually that you need to accomplish peace and quiet, wholeness, connectedness? What is it that works for you? For some people, it could be sports. You know, playing a sport, you just kind of go away completely. Your mind is completely as quiet. You're one with your body, and it's brilliant. Another person, it might be sitting there, you know, by a tree, or another one just doing a centering or a exercise of breathing. Whatever it is for you, something that helps you to accomplish things spiritually. Now, don't you do it right now. And mentally, the same thing. What would you need each day of your life? See, if you imagine each day, what would you need mentally each day to create balance in your life? Something that you need, for example, mentally, when I was traveling a lot, I needed to talk with my children, you know, so I would call them on the telephone and have stimulating conversation. Or maybe you need to read books, you know. Or maybe you need to simply quiet your mind, maybe centering, which you might have in the spiritual sector, comes under mental. If you need to quiet your mind, it's okay. These things can overlap. You can have more the same things in different categories. It doesn't matter. You're going to realize what the overall picture looks like soon enough. And then you're going to go to emotionally. You're going to go, what do I need emotionally? Well, I actually had my kids in that one too, but what do I need emotionally? Do I need a partner? Do I need to be alone? Do I need silence? Do I need lots of people? What is it that emotionally satisfies me? Do I need to eat ice cream? You know, be honest with yourself. Just put it down. There'll be plenty of time to adjust things later. And then when we're going to go around and around, and I'll explain each one, you know, as we go around, and then you're going to put in there in self-image, for example, if you walked into a room and you never had a conversation with yourself and you saw yourself standing across the room, what is it, what are the values that you would exude that people would know about you just by seeing you? What are you transmitting? Are you well-dressed? Are you neat and clean? Are you kind of a hippie-like character? Do you show confidence? Are you showing fear? What is it? In your self-image that you visualize yourself as being progressive nature in your life. And then physically, you might write down physically, what is it that you need to do physically on a daily basis that satisfies your physical body? Do you need to work out? Do you need to engage in sexual activity? You need to eat a certain kind of food? What is it? A certain nourishment, you see? Whatever it is, this is only for you to see. And then we'll go into short-term goals and long-term goals. Short-term could be anything from tomorrow morning to 5 years or 10 years, and long-term could be the rest of your life or a year from now. It doesn't matter, however you like to do it. And then community service, what are you going to give back? So I think you've got the idea now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to time you for each sector. And you're going to have about 60 seconds in each sector. So I want you to start with spiritual and begin to write down, like make little numbers inside the octagon, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, and write down as many things that come to you beginning right now under spirituality. Go. And you have 30 seconds left. Ten seconds. Three, two, one. Stop. Immediately. Now go to mentally. What do you need mentally on a daily basis? How many things mentally can you think of on a daily basis do you need? Go. Seconds. Now we're going to move to the emotional sector here. Go, you've got the idea. Seconds. Ten seconds. Self-image. You walk into a room. What do you see? What do you know about yourself without ever speaking to yourself? What image are you portraying? Go. Little church mouse, powerful being, confident, scared. What are you? On a daily basis, what do you need to project? Make your life work. Thirty seconds. Ten seconds. And physical. What do you need to do physically each day to satisfy, to come into balance? Seconds. Ten seconds. And stop. Short-term goals, right now. Go. Could be anything from immediate. Short-term could be 5 years from now for you, 1 year, 10 years, whatever short term means to you, something you want to accomplish right away. 30 seconds. Ten seconds. Stop. Long-term goals. Go. Seconds. Ten seconds. Stop. Community service, go. Just fit it inside that octagon. What are you going to give back to your community? What is your gift, your talent, your skill? What are you going to give freely, altruistically? What is your contribution, your legacy? There's your tombstone. What did you do? Who wrote on it? What did they write? 10 seconds. And just stop, put your pencil down. I want you just to look at that whole overall picture. Notice if in some categories you might have one, two, three, or just one thing. Maybe you were stuck. Maybe in another category you had 20 or 30, or you could have filled the whole page. Just notice. Notice which of these things you're doing every day already. Notice which ones you're avoiding or not doing or never even thought of. Just notice. There's no right or wrong about this, or good or bad. It's just now a state of awareness. It's the first state of being, the third stage of healing, is awareness. And it's important to be able to balance yourself, to understand where you are in life, so that you know what it is that's out of balance, that you can heal that, that you can change it. So just kind of see what's there. Notice where you've got maybe 10 or 15 things. I've seen people go right off the paper. And then other items, only one item. So just notice that. And then what I'd like you to do, at least during the course of a day, is at least pick one thing from each of those categories and make sure sometime during the day that you accomplish something that has to do with one of those categories. If your community service is a large one, like I had begin a community center or something like that, you have to take one step in that direction. Now, on the outside of this octagon, above each of these words that we wrote, spiritual, mental, emotional, self-image, physical, short-term, long-term, and community service, I want you to write one picture, just draw a picture. Use your imagination. It could be any symbol that means everything in that particular category. For instance, emotionally for me, was talking to the children. If that's what it was, I drew a little picture of a phone. When I first drew that, it was a regular dial phone. Now it's like just a square. It's a cell phone. Whatever works for you. Go around that octagon and just draw a symbol That means everything that you placed in each of those categories that would be of a value to you. And while you're doing that, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more because we're running over just a little bit here. This is the external application. The outward focus, you're getting this information from inside. That's why I put such a little time to get these things. I don't want you to think about it. I want you to reach in there and grab something and pull it out and say, ah, this is what it is. And you can do this again and again. Until you get it to where it looks like a beautiful balanced picture to you. But your life comes into balance. And soon, when you go to listen to the internal balance, we're going to balance all of the chakras, and the way that it's going to be done for you is that you're going to be going from the macrocosm to the microcosm. We're going to constantly go on each chakra and go inside it, outside of the body. That you can make a complete relationship between this external and this internal education, this drawing forth of knowledge in such a way that it works together. And put things on here that you intend to keep. Self-worth can be measured. Success can be measured in the number of, in direct proportion to the number of agreements that we make to ourselves and keep. So when you put something on this reel, intend to keep it. Now, we've just done an exercise with it, but if you're going to do it again, time yourself. You'll allow yourself that equal idea, the equal opportunity for each of these to surface, to flood from the central core of your heart. Center yourself first. And you'll realize that when you're in balance, you know, you will make agreements and you will keep them. You will make your own decisions and you will take the responsibility for those decisions, regardless what the result is. And understand that it's just a result. It's not failure or success. It's a result. And if you want a different result, you have the ability to change. You have the ability to forgive yourself. You have the ability to stay open. You have the ability to align your heart and your head. You have the ability to let go and to like God. You can be a magician, a person who has the ability right now to make a permanent change in their consciousness. Stay in balance. Be stingy with your criticism. Be generous with your praise. The good will get back to you. Talk good behind the back of others. Talk good behind their front. It's easy to find fault. Because we're always looking for that in ourselves. So find those beautiful values within yourself. Focus on the good. Focus on your compliments. Focus on your accomplishments. You are what you sow. If you sow gratitude and greatness, then you'll receive greatness and gratitude. And the universe is so big, don't forget that. Show honor even when something is dishonoring you. Be honorable. Work. Let your imagination soar. Have fun. Even when you're not treated right, keep your honor. Keep treating others as you would have been treated yourself. Maintain your values. Understand their pain. Allow it. Forgive them. Forgive yourself for creating yourself in that circumstance in the first place. Extol your own virtues. You are working of and through your divine presence, not others. Take delight in honoring yourself, and in that way you honor all others. As we come into this great balance, we're going to now move in. In our next module, we're going to be moving into healing your body. Do practice. Take the time. Center yourself. Get to know yourself. Get to love yourself. And as we do these things, we're going to learn more and more tools on how to heal ourselves on a daily basis. How to take all of these things in balance, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, self-image, short-term, long-term, community service and create such a tremendous balance that we become unshakable in who we are. We become heard, we become respected, powerful, and safe. And these are all symptoms of healing. So walk with yourself in the greatness of who you are. Walk with yourself in the greatness who everyone around you is. Walk with yourself in the greatness of this incredible planet that we live on, that we call home. So much love, so much grace for all of us. So many blessings. God bless.